Today is Sunday, July 22nd, 2008, and this...
Vegas, it's a late night town, baby.
...is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 655. Las Vegas, we are!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
I am.
I've rehydrated from...
We had a little too much fun last night.
Yeah.
We're moving a little slow, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. We are ready to talk about Las Vegas. It puts me in a little bit of a Las Vegas frame of mind.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Because sometimes you wake up in Las Vegas and...
And you need some...
You're moving a little slow.
Moving a little slow. Had a little too much fun the night before.
Need a little coconut water or a little Powerade or something in your life. So yeah, we're dealing with that today. Mm-hmm. My hangovers aren't as bad as they used to be, which is remarkable considering as you age, generally they get worse.
Uh-huh. Maybe you know how to restrain yourself a little better than you used to.
Maybe, but last night I was pretty, feeling pretty good. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That might have been your waitress's fault.
I had a good waitress. All right. Before we get into some news, we want to thank some people. As always, this podcast is listener supported. Thanks to our Patreon patrons, including lovely folks like Rob Taylor, Stuart Lind, Holly McKelvey, Eric Hummel, Mike Prescott, and Lauren and Mitch. Thank you all very much. And thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon. People who support the show on a monthly basis get some bonus content once in a while as our way of saying thank you. You can visit patreon.com/500 for the details.
I should say bartender, not waitress.
You were a combo.
I was a combo.
You did a fine job.
Thank you.
All right. Some news this week. The city council held its meeting at which the 18 Fremont plans that we discussed a few weeks back advanced and were heard by the council. And there were no people there that got up and spoke out against it this time.
Mm.
So I was hoping we'd have some entertaining nonsense from them again, but no, not this time around. The thing passed as expected, and there were only a couple notes that were new that we haven't discussed already. One, they hope to begin building by the end of the year. Of course, right now they've got a big hole they've dug down, and they're ready to begin construction. The one thing that makes me a little nervous, because whenever I hear this, it's like, contingent on finalizing financing, which they said they're very optimistic about getting that taken care of, but the financing on different things has held them up before, so I hope that comes about quickly, because I think we all want to see some new properties rising. By the way, slight tangent. I saw some pictures online of Resorts World.
Yeah.
They're making pretty good progress there.
Yay.
Yes, there's definitely quite a bit of work happening there now, and
good.
The building is getting taller.
That is awesome. I want to see new.
I know.
Exciting.
There's a lot of cranes now between that and the football stadium. Mm-hmm. One additional new piece of information to come out of the city council meeting, the neon sign, the Vegas Vicky neon sign that was taken down when they demolished the properties there on Fremont, it will be returning. When they took it down, they said, they're going to refurbish it and hopefully they would be able to find a new spot for it. Apparently they're going to affix it to the ugly ass zip line landing structure between 18 Fremont and Golden Gate.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be facing Plaza, so overlooking Main Street. That is the plan.
So it'll be a nicer view instead of the...
That's how it came up. One of the city council members said, I don't know how the hell that thing got built, how Plaza didn't like protest that and what an eyesore it is. I think everybody agrees the thing looks horrible. Mm-hmm. And
it bringing in tons of money though?
I don't know, but they said they're planning on, you know, and this is certainly not going to make it look great, but it's going to improve it at least. At least there'll be something a little bit more attractive on that side. It's not just a brick wall. So, so that will be happening. They did not say when exactly that would be happening, but that's the deal there. So that's the update on 18 Fremont. Of course, as things are announced and we uncover things, hopefully, as I'm sleuthing, as I like to do with new projects, we'll certainly be talking about this for the next couple years. All right, some entertainment news. E! Online reported yesterday that Paris is going to have a new show beginning on October 12th. And this is a slightly different version of a show that was planned for Tropicana that we discussed a while ago that fell through. And that involves Salt and Peppa, the rappers. And it's not just their show anymore. It's going to be a version of the touring I Love the 90s show. And that's, I think that's been around for a few years, tours over the summer. I know it's touring right now. This is a condensed version of the touring show, and they're going to have different acts that change on a monthly basis. The first lineup is the aforementioned Salt and Peppa. How do you feel about Salt and Peppa?
I like them. I don't know. We discussed this before.
Mm-hmm. They have a handful of songs.
Yeah, I think it's good that it's going to be more of a package deal.
Yes, I think that was something.
I think they're rotating. Although,
I have concerns about
Some of the acts about to read off.
Let's discuss. Okay, so the first lineup, Salt and Peppa, Rob Bass. One song?
I think
one recognizable song, maybe two. And then All for One, which is sort of a Boys to Men-esque R&B group that had a few hits back in the 90s. So I think that they can probably put together an hour and a half. I'm guessing that like Rob Bass probably does some other 90s songs from other people, like throws those into the mix.
Yeah.
That's my guess. The second month I have some concerns about, however, as far as the ability to, I don't know that there's that big of a demand for, I don't know about this show's longevity. I'll just put that out there. The second month they have Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
Hell no.
You hate Sugar Ray. Is that a correct assessment? I know a lot of times people hear us talk about things and they will project on us that we hate things we don't really hate. We're just
they
not
are
that,
not good.
But whenever Sugar Ray comes on, you're like reaching for the remote.
I mean, I don't.
You don't
I don't
wish them
go so,
ill.
Yeah, exactly. I don't wish them ill.
You just
but
never
want
to hear
sure
them.
As hell do not want to hear them again.
Fortunately, I did not pull sound clips from these bands. So.
I appreciate that.
Kid and Play is the second act.
I mean, I could
act.
Use a little Salt and Pepper this morning, but.
Which song specifically? Push It?
Push It, Shoop, sure.
Okay. So Mark McGrath, it's not even all of Sugar Ray. It's Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray. Kid and Play. I know them more for their movies than their songs.
Yeah, same.
Their House Party
and their
franchise.
Hair.
And then Drew Hill, and I know the name, but I don't know any of the songs off the top of my head. So beyond that, we will see if it even lasts more than 2 months. I don't know.
Will Smash Mouth be on board?
Oh, I could totally see that. That would make sense. Yeah.
That's another one. If I never heard another Smash Mouth song again, I'd be
I think the
okay.
world would be better for it. $70 and up plus Ticketmaster fees. It's going to be a 9 p.m. show. I have not found information on which days of the week it will be performing or how many shows exactly they will be doing. There apparently is some time available in the Paris Theater in that the Review Journal mentioned yesterday, I think it was, that the show Inferno, which has been playing at Paris, it's been on a two-week break, and it's becoming a permanent break. The show has been canceled. So
how would you describe Inferno?
Fire and shit. Yeah, that's about it. They are still saying that Maryland musical is coming back. They're selling tickets for that this fall. We'll see. So that's what's happening over at Paris. And as that show either evolves or ends, we will certainly be discussing it again. I think an I Love the 90s show could work. I just don't know that they have the right combo of acts here to be enough of a draw. But we'll see. All right. There is a relatively new restaurant at the Link that I just discovered the other day while I was looking at some stuff online. It is called Corner Kitchen and Donuts.
I like donuts.
I was just going to ask how you feel about donuts. I had a feeling that's what you would say. It's a quick counter service restaurant. I think it might be kind of like that, I can't remember what it's called, that snack bar thing at the Cromwell.
Oh, yeah.
Eat Well.
Eat Well.
I think it's somewhat like that in that they have things prepared and they can just pop them in their little quick oven thing that heats them up in a minute and a half. I think it's one of those deals. But anyway, they've got, in addition to donuts, they have sandwiches and pizza and some other quick grab-and-go items. So if you're looking for a quick bite at The Link, that is a relatively new option. It opened last month. Here's a deal I want to talk about. Every once in a while, I come across a bargain that I like to share with the listeners just in case they're interested. Some people would suggest there are no good deals anymore in Las Vegas. You can't drink cheap anymore. I got a deal for you, folks. You can drink cheap. There's a place called Rock and Riley. We've talked about it before. It's in the former Pete Rose Bar and Grill space at the Hawaiian Marketplace, located between MGM Grand and Planet Hollywood on the Strip. They have announced an all-you-can-drink special. Certainly not the first all-you-can-drink special on the Strip. However, most of them are like 3-4 hours, a relatively limited period of time.
Which might be wise.
Yeah, might be. I think PBR Rock Bar at Planet Hollywood, I don't know if they still do, but they've had an all-you-can-drink thing. It's 3 or 4 hours a day. This, however, for $50, you can get unlimited drinks from noon until 2 a.m. So you got a 14-hour window to drink as much as you want, and you can come and go. You don't have to sit there all day.
Oh, wow.
So you could play. You can, you know, go play at Planet Hollywood or something, come back, drink some more, whatever you want to do. The drinks include a choice of 5 draft beers. They are Coors Light, PBR, Heineken, Blue Moon, and Guinness. Well drinks, as well as a few call liquors, Captain Morgan, Absolute Vodka, Casa Noble Tequila, and their own Casa Riley's. Noble. Is that what did I say?
You said Casa Noble.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's Noble.
Casa Noble Tequila. Thank you. I'm glad you're here to correct me. And Riley's
intrigues me.
Ginger Whiskey. Which, yeah, that could be good. They also have 4 specialty cocktails, an Irish breakfast shot. Because when you're doing all you can drink, you're going to have some shots.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Tequila Sunrise, Rum Punch, and Madras. So you have a pretty good selection available for your $50. And like I said, unlimited reentry. Come and go. I think the 14-hour window might be problematic at some point.
Yes.
But I could see if I were younger, like right now,
this is not something we would do.
No, but in my younger days, for example, I could see where something like this may have been more appealing.
Yeah.
If you're going to Las Vegas with a bunch of your dude friends and you have...
Or lady friends,
yes, bachelorette party or something, and you are on a tight budget, you might, you know, be in your 20s and not have extra cash to spend, but you want to have a good time. Here you go, $50. You can drink all day. If $50 is too much for you...
Should you drink all day?
I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying it's an option for you. If $50 is too rich, there's a $30 option. It's 2 hours shorter, so you still have 12 hours. You got noon to midnight, and it only includes Well Liquors and Coors Light and PBR. So shitty beer and... liquor off the gun that's probably going to make you feel like shit the next day. But if you're drinking for 12 hours, you're probably going to feel like shit the next day.
Regardless.
So there you go. So this one's a rarity in the amount of time available in that all-you-can-drink deal. If anyone
tries this...
I'd like a series of reports by phone, please. Yes. 702-866-9494.
Yes, please.
Perhaps the beginning, a couple in the middle, and then if you can still speak at 2 a.m., do what you can to dial the phone. I'm curious how long this will last.
I am too.
All right. I'm
intrigued.
If you're not
intrigued enough to
no,
do it.
No, we're not doing this. Plus, you know, it's Hawaiian Marketplace.
Yeah.
If you get hungry, they have food there, but you can wander over to Chili's. If you want to indulge, but you're not into alcohol, You can get some marijuana in Las Vegas. I'm sure that most people are aware of that by now, especially if you've been there, because you can smell it often as you are going about your daily business. There are plans for a new dispensary. Not a big deal in and of itself, but this is going to be a big-ass dispensary. It's going to be the largest in the state, according to the people who are putting it together. It's going to be called Planet 13. I believe they have another location already somewhere in the valley. This is going to be near the Strip, so that's part of what makes this worth discussing, and also the size of it. It's going to be a 16,500-square-foot superstore, and it's located just off the Strip on Desert Inn and Industrial, so kind of behind where Trump International Hotel is. And it's supposed to open on November 1st, according to Las Vegas Sun. In addition to it being a dispensary and having every possible form of cannabis you could want, it's going to be, they're going to have some entertainment features as part of it.
So can you consume your goods and then participate?
No, you can't consume the goods on site. I don't think so.
Okay.
Although there have been discussions at some point, there might be, it'll be a while because it has several legal hurdles, but there are discussions about having marijuana lounges.
Because the thing you're about to,
you kind of want to be high for these things.
Yes.
Okay. So there's going to be a laser graffiti wall, a gigantic drone orb, gigantic drone orb balls floating across the venue. Yeah, that'd freak me out in that state of mind.
Especially if they were in pairs.
And an LED, they're renting Steve Wynn's balls.
Yes.
And an LED light floor sensor that activates with the movement of customers' feet. So that's kind of like a Saturday Night Fever situation. There's also, I think I saw something about some sort of light feature that you can, the customers can control. I think that's on the outside of the building or the roof or something. There's going to be a lot going on over here. It might be worth checking out once it opens this fall, just for the weirdness of it. So there you go. That is, like I said, November 1st is the planned opening date, and it's called Planet 13. Finally, this week, there's been a lot of things that have happened since the October 1st shooting and shootings, one asshole shooting many people, at Mandalay Bay and the Route 91 Music Festival across the street. And as we mentioned, when all this stuff happened, we're being pretty selective about which things we choose to talk about. We don't want this show to become about that. And this thing is going to drag on for years, possibly decades. Possibly more than a decade, I would say, based on some other tragedies that have happened and some of the lawsuits that have occurred. But I thought it was worth discussing one aspect of this today because it made such it made headlines worldwide. So as part of the legal actions, and people can debate the legal merits of victims suing MGM and MGM not how they respond and all that.
Right.
That's not... that's not what we're going to do. But what's noteworthy about this, so MGM filed, it's called a declaratory action, and they're not seeking money from the victims or legal fees, but this action is essentially a lawsuit against the victims. So the headlines in the article said MGM
sues victims.
Is suing the victims, which they
are. It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And that's the thing that's noteworthy about it. Like, they have the right to take whatever legal measures they want, but the fact that they did this without, it seems that maybe they did, but it seems they didn't consider the
implications of it,
the publicity fallout.
Yeah,
it got ugly, and it still is ugly. It took, so after this news broke, and it was everywhere. This MGM is suing the victims. It took
them. The corporation goes after a bunch of people.
Yeah, who
are already having a traumatic experience
and injured and all this.
Yeah.
So if they did not consider that, it's like, what are you thinking?
Right.
I've read a lot about this. I've talked to some people who have much more legal knowledge than I do. It seems likely that this was an action by either, or possibly a combination of, the MGM legal department and very likely the involvement of their liability insurer. Because we discussed this a little bit one other time too, and insurance is a fucked up, I hate it, but I know some stuff about it. a lot of times if you have liability insurance, when there's a lawsuit, the liability insurer takes over and in many cases and makes the decisions on what's going to happen. So MGM may not really even have a lot to say about this, but regardless of that, the fact that they didn't get the public relations people involved to at least figure out
a way to frame it.
Yeah. And they framed it poorly after the fact. They said, look, this is something that it's in the best interest of everybody to get these cases figured out quickly and efficiently. So they were, in effect, saying, you know what, we know better. We know what's good for you two victims. We got this. It's okay. It's like, no. That doesn't, it came across as very insincere. So as a result of this, there's tons of backlash on social media and elsewhere. There's a boycott MGM movement. If you go to Twitter and type in boycott MGM, you'll see tons of outrage. Some from people who haven't probably even read the article or don't understand it, but some who actually do and are like, this is ridiculous. There are probably other ways they could have gone about achieving some of the same things without it being done as essentially a lawsuit against the victims.
Yep.
So what they're trying to do, I guess, is to try to they're trying to demonstrate that they aren't liable. Mm-hmm. It's a terrorism related law, and it's very, very technical, and there's tons of articles. You can certainly read about it if you'd like. But like I said, the thing that's noteworthy here is not having a response, not being proactive about knowing this was going to be a big deal.
Story, and people are going to react emotionally to it.
Absolutely. So I don't know.
And rightly so.
Now, people react emotionally to all kinds of stuff now, and a lot of these things have a shelf life of a week or less. So it'll be interesting to see how long the outrage lasts, or if, you know, maybe they'll come out and raise parking fees to distract everyone.
Oh, that would be a great idea.
The thing about this, though, is that the parking fee stuff, that's, you know, those of us who go to Vegas a lot pay attention to that stuff. This is something that people who don't even necessarily follow the Las Vegas scene are aware of, because it's been making so many headlines and it looks so bad. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not interested in necessarily discussing whether or not the action they took is justified.
Yeah,
but it looks bad.
I'm curious, how long the fallout will last and how it's going to affect them economically. Are room bookings going to drop?
Yeah.
People going to...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway...
Because they already had a problem with right after the shootings happened. Mandalay wasn't doing so great because a lot of people were canceling reservations and people didn't want to hang out there and all that stuff. But
well, the other thing too is then, so separate of the reason behind it, the concept of a boycott, those things happen on social media all the time. People are suggesting to boycott whatever company for whatever reason. Rarely is it effective.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel
bad
for the frontline workers.
I know.
Because they're going to take...
Right. They're going to take the hit. Their jobs are going to, you know, be at risk, or their hours are going to be shrunk if people quit coming. I suspect that it won't be a huge hit, but I don't know. You never know.
Yeah.
It could have legs, and we'll see. Like I said, we're not going to be talking about these legal actions every time somebody files something, but this one was especially noteworthy because of how poorly it was handled by the company. So there you go. That's what's going on in Las Vegas this week. We have some phone calls, so let's get to those.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. It's Dave from Toronto, Canada calling. It's Janet in Vegas. Just wanted to tell you something about an experience I had checking in at the Flamingo. My host originally had reserved me inside of the new Flamingo rooms, but upon check-in, they couldn't give me a Flamingo room, and so they said that they would give me a go room instead. I decided, you know what, I'll take the go room. Went up to the go room. TV didn't work. In fact, it was all unplugged. The floor was flooded because of the refrigerator in the room had overflowed, I guess, with the ice, and it had melted. And thirdly, there was literally feces inside of the bed.
Ew.
And So went back down, told them all of this, did it through Diamond Check-In on top of that, was told, we can't switch you rooms. I said, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to be sleeping in a bed where somebody's taking a dump inside of it and not be able to have two of the three things that I need to work, the fridge and the TV. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing you can do. Ask for a manager. Comes back and says, well, the best I can do is switch you to the Flamingo rooms. I'm like, well, that was my original reservation anyway, so I'll take that. And she said, well, I just want to forewarn you, it's not a strip view. And your go room was a strip view. And I said, well, to be honest, having feces inside of a bed is a bigger priority to me not to have than to have a strip view. She responded back with, well, you know, some people really do appreciate having a strip view. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. I don't know how much people actually place on strip views versus having feces inside a bed, but I can definitely tell you that I will take a clean bed any day over a strip view. Thanks very much for all you do. Bye-bye.
You know, when I'm sitting in someone else's shit, I really like having a nice view. That is horrible. Well, I'm sorry you had that experience. That's handled poorly.
Yeah.
Weird that that would be even, like, that they didn't get it. Like, how could they?
How could they be casual about poop in someone's bed?
I don't know. That is bizarre. Well, I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that a hotel manager would be so cavalier about it. Well, some people like a strip view.
People don't like poop in their bed either.
Okay. Well.
And I want to know, like, how did he find this? I mean, was it like right on top of the mattress?
Just
a big
loaf right in the middle of a pillow?
Yeah.
I don't know. He said in the bed, so I'm guessing like underneath the covers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd hate to take a black light to that room and see.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
Not good. All right. Thank you for that unfortunate report. Some luminol?
Yeah.
That would be for blood stains. I don't know. Does that show other stains too?
Oh, no. I think that's more of a black light thing.
Yeah. Black light will show
all kinds of fluid.
Fun stuff. All right. This is getting disgusting. Let's move on.
Tim and Michelle, this is Bob from Portland, Oregon again. I called in earlier, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but several of the people in my group went over to the Luxor to the East Forks Gaming Arena, and they all had rave reviews about it. They said there were quite a few kids in there because you can kind of dump your kids there. It's not a gaming area, and but as the day progressed, it became a lot of gaming nerds, apparently. And they spend money, not as much as gamblers, but they spend money, and the place was busy. Thanks again. Take care.
All right. Thanks for that report. I've been wondering what they were, what kind of business they've been doing at the new esports venue. It hasn't been open that long, and we haven't heard a lot about it, so we appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. All righty. Next up.
Hey, how's it going? All right. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I'll get right to the point. I saw that Spiegel World Opium because you guys were talking about it on your podcast. And I got to tell you, I was impressed. You guys were kind of tearing it down, saying they were giving away tickets practically and discounting them. And so I was going into it thinking, okay, this is going to be some kind of retarded show. But I got to say, it was hilarious. Think Zumanity, but a little bit raunchier and with a space theme. And that's exactly what it was. It was pretty hilarious. I'll give it a 8.5 out of 10. I would have given it a 9, but one of the guy's legs were very hairy and it was kind of tripping me out. But good show and good themed drinks to go along with that. Get some bags of liquor with Pop Rocks attached to it. You'll see what I mean when you get there. But good show, worth the money, and I enjoyed it. Talk to you guys later.
All right, thank you for that report. Yeah, we've been getting quite a few reviews of Opium. I'd say they're skewing slightly more positive than negative, but still mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not seen it, don't really plan to, because the whole audience participation thing doesn't necessarily appeal to me. But, I mean, I don't know. The characterization that we were tearing it down, I don't know if that's... It is correct. They've been discounting tickets ever since it opened.
Yeah.
So do not pay full price. You can get them discounted very easily if you just do a quick search on Groupon or Smarter Vegas or one of those sites. Okay, thanks for that report. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Ash from Maryland. Kind of a late trip report from Memorial Day weekend. A coworker and a friend stay there the entire week, and I joined them just for the weekend. Ended up extending a day. I stayed at the Venetian, thought the room was amazing. The entire property was pretty nice. It was my first time there. My coworker, on the other hand, stayed at the Link, and I thought it was pretty crappy. The entire place smelled like weed. Elevators just never seemed to be working, and the general crowd that weekend was just extremely claustrophobic anywhere on that property. We ate at a few places. We tried out Black Tap Kraft Burgers, I think, when I landed for lunch, and thought the food was just about okay. They served their water in mason jars. we ate at Tao, which was extremely crowded for dinner. The tables are like super close to each other and just an absolute nightmare to eat comfortably. I also tried out Caminita at the Venetian. It's that little Mexican place by the Grand, and I think it's the Grand Canal Shops over there. That was pretty good. Decent food. We also ate at one of the bars up top there that served some sort of pastas and a variety of other little things. So that was pretty decent. And then we also ate at Lavo. We watched one of the games out there that was pretty decent, one of the playoff games. As far as bars and lounges, we tried out the Dorsey, which was quite nice. Nice environment, nice atmosphere. Felt comfortable. Drinks kind of expensive, but that's expected. It was my coworker's first time in Vegas, so I took him out to the Mandarin Bar, and we really enjoyed that. And then we watched one of the playoff games for the NBA at Lily Bar, which was pretty decent, at the Bellagio. My main point of the trip was to watch the Champions League final, and saw that at Blondie's, which was okay, not too bad. Sucks that we lost. And then I also tried out the Canyon Ranch spa at the Venetian. That was severely underwhelming. The massage sub, the property just seems to cater for volume as opposed to quality, in my opinion. That's about it.
All right. Thank you for your report. We appreciate that. Any thoughts?
Oh.
Me neither. Okay. All right.
He did a lot of things.
Yes. All right. Final call of the week.
Well, Tim, Michelle, I heard your story 2 weeks ago about not liking to go to Vegas in March for St. Patrick's Day and the NCAA tournament. And I just wanted to give my experience from this previous March, as I know people are starting to plan for next March and for the St. Patrick's Day and the NCAA tournament and so forth. So the first thing about the actual betting on the games in the NCAA tournament, one thing the casinos are doing now is they're really pushing people onto the apps. MGM had separate lines just for people to get all the paperwork done so they could get on their app and make their bets there.
It's the only way to go.
Yep.
Yeah, we've been using the William Hill app for the last couple of years the last couple times we went to March Madness, and it is wonderful because
it's so convenient.
You don't have to be anywhere near the sports book, and you can place your bets, and it's a little dangerous at times, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have that remote ability and not to have to wait in line and all that.
Really helps keep the line down at the MGM and other big properties as well. And we stayed at the Tropicana, and the one thing I'll say about the Tropicana in terms of the nice gaming aspect is the line at the sportsbook there was never more than 3 or 4 people deep. So you could go down there and have no trouble getting a bet down anytime during the day or cash a ticket. So that worked out really well. In terms of the food and viewing the games itself, one of the things we talked about doing was going to a viewing party, but it turns out we really didn't need to do that. We just went and made a reservation at Rewa Irish Pub like 2 days out, watched the games there, and it was easy. The food and specials were good for St. Patrick's Day, so no problems doing that. And then in terms of gambling while watching the games, we went downtown, saddled up to the Main Street Station via poker bar, enjoyed the con drinks, and watched the games on their TVs, and that was fantastic. It was very easy to get a machine and a table to watch the games at. In terms of actually St. Patrick's Day, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, we went out for dinner at Herbs and Rye off Strip, and I'd highly recommend the half-price steak happy hours. We did the show at Opium, which I would have do a hard pass on. And then we did drinks at Frankie's since we were off Strip already. And then we decided to go down to Fremont. And here's the one area where I'd say, hey, if you don't like the big crowds, stay away from Fremont. So do that. It was a disaster. We just decided not to go, and we were happy for it. We went to Peppermills, had dessert, and moved on. One thing we did do that I think was beneficial, we stayed the extra Monday in Vegas. That allowed my wife and I to go to Topgolf. And since the rates were significantly lower, a non-NCAA day. And I think just in general, if you don't like the crowds, just stay off Fremont Street at night, and I think you'll be fine. Vegas is great during NCAA tournament weekend. So if you want to try it out, go for it. Just know that you might have to tweak some things and, you know, stay off Fremont Street at the peak times to avoid the crowds. Anyway, have a good day, Tim, Michelle. Thank you.
Bye. All right. Thank you for your perspective on that. Yeah, I'm done. I'm still done.
Yeah.
We did it a few times, and Strip was nuts too, though. It's not like it was just Fremont Street.
Yeah.
And the casinos too, like Cosmo was just packed.
Right. And I think I've mentioned I have more of a tolerance for crowds on Fremont Street than Strip because you don't have to go as far to get where you're going.
And there's wider, wider, like it's not just a sidewalk. You have the whole street. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's fun. It's a really fun time to be there. I agree with that. I just don't have the tolerance for the crowds anymore.
It's not for me anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd rather go at a quieter time.
Me too. All right. Thank you for the calls. We do appreciate that. We welcome all calls at 702-866-9494. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Before we go, we've got some Karma donations this week to thank some folks for Dave in McKinney, Texas. Karma donation for an upcoming stay at Caesar's Palace. Happening right now, actually.
Nice.
He said he started listening earlier this year and really enjoys it. He also sent us some cool stuff. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to do some plugs here, some pimpage. John with a Karma donation for a second annual birthday trip for his brother coming up next week. Staying a couple nights at Park MGM using my Vegas comps. Hopefully that will be okay. I know, you know, there's construction and stuff going on. And anyway, let us know what you think of Park MGM. We're kind of curious to hear how things are going from the perspective of people who are staying there. But hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time, and thanks for the support of the show. Greg from DC heading to Vegas this weekend. Thought he'd chip in to say thanks for the podcast for all these years. Well, thank you, Greg.
Thanks for listening all these years.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Oh. Kyle with a Karma donation for an impromptu trip this weekend.
Oh, fun.
Hope you had a wonderful time. Matthew with a Karma donation for a birthday trip this weekend. A lot of birthday trips this weekend. Love the show. Been binge listening for the past 2 days. Awesome. Glad you like it. I'm sure you're sick of our voices by now. Sergio, bringing mom out to for 3 nights at Fremont for round 2 of her 60th birthday celebration. A multi-round birthday celebration. That's nice. Got some good plans there. Triple George, pool time, drinks, walking the strip, and finally going to the Las Vegas Sign and Container Park. Well, I hope you and your mom have a wonderful time. Finally, Ginger and Bill, Karma donation for this week's trip to Treasure Island for a roller derby convention.
Ooh.
That's what I love, looking at the convention calendar for Las Vegas, because like you've got your normal like Dentists Association and all that stuff, but then you'll have something a little bit different, like a roller derby convention. You're like, well, I suppose every group has some sort of a gathering.
Yeah.
Why not? Hope you have a wonderful time. Thank you very much, Ginger and Bill.
Thank you, everyone, and good luck.
Yes, indeed. Okay, a couple things we want to plug before we go. One, Dave sent us these really cool pendants that he made. He's got an Etsy site and a company called Scratch Metalware. And first of all, the Scratch Metalware logo is badass in and of itself. It's like a heavy metal kind of style logo. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. But he makes these really cool pendants out of coins. I'm making a little circle with my fingers.
Yeah. Like that no one can see.
That nobody can
me.
See. And it wouldn't be helpful if they could. But he cuts different things into these coins and they're really, really cool. So for us, he sent us one with the different suits.
Card suits,
and then another one that had spade, like a couple A's and the spade sign, so Ace of Spades, like, you know, Motorhead and whatnot. But anyway, I was looking at his store on Etsy. He's got so much cool stuff. He has different dogs, like different dog breeds, and like a variety of cocktail glasses. And he's got tons and tons of designs. So we want to give him a plug. You might have seen it. I tweeted out a link on Twitter, which is where you generally tweet things, a week or so ago. But check out Etsy.com/shop/scratchmetalware. And or just go to Etsy and search for Scratch Metalware and you'll find it. And take a look at what he's got and maybe you'll find something you like. Thank you, Dave. We do appreciate it. That's really nice. And they can be used like for necklaces or keychains or good luck charms or whatever you want. So it's kind of a neat little thing. All right. I also want to plug a new CD. Our friend Kevin Bowe, who does the opening theme to this show and has allowed us to use that for the past... How long have we been doing this piece of shit? 12, 13 years?
13 years.
Okay. So for the past however many years we've been doing the show, we've had the song Las Vegas is Waiting as part of the opening montage in the show. And is montage the wrong word? I think it is. But anyway, part of the opening package to the show. He's a really talented musician, singer, songwriter, producer, guitar player, everything. And he has a new CD out called Every Part of the Buffalo, and you can find it on Spotify or iTunes or wherever. Or you can go to kevinbowe.com and buy it on CD if you want to do that. So support him. He's a wonderful, wonderful person and has allowed us to use his great song for so long. Finally, another friend of the show, John Kreisel, has a new version of his book, Still Standing. It's not a Las Vegas book, but it's a really good book, and we wanted to plug that. John's been a great supporter of the show, and people in the Twin Cities know him from his appearances on KFAN, and he's a former member of the Minnesota House of Representatives and an all-around great guy.
All-around good dude.
Super entertaining on Twitter, likes to argue with people, especially during football season. And anyway, I just wanted to put in a plug for his book, Still Standing. It's a very inspirational story about the experience he went through as a soldier in Iraq and losing his legs and... the rest of his life, which is very interesting. And there you go. Check it out. It's on Amazon, as are all books at this point. Called Still Standing by John Kreisel. All right. Anything else? Anything you want to plug in addition to those things?
No, those three are wonderful things.
Awesome. Okay. That's it for this week. 500bymidnight.com is the website. I'm going to put links to those things on the website too, under the show notes. 500@gmail.com is where you can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, that voicemail line is 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.